It was on the 26th of February 1903 that some three Basque students living in Madrid decided to create a branch of the childhood club, which was Athletic Club de Bilbao in Madrid, and that is how football club Atletico de Madrid was born. And Atleti faced their parent club, Athletic Club Bilbao, this Saturday at the new San Mamés. So joining me to talk on that is an aspiring sports journalist, and actually he has done a lot in terms of sports journalism. He's based in Spain. It's Kai. Kai, how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you for having me here. Hope you're doing well as well.
Well, I'm better than Barca, so I guess I'm doing okay. So to dive straight into things, we are going to talk about Alexis Champions League campaign, because it was actually a phenomenal campaign from analytics fan perspective, because in recent performances in the Champions League for Atleti has not been great. We actually finished rock bottom of our group last season, and which implies no European football for us in February. That was kind of a double-edged sword, which kind of was good and a bad thing, because a club like Atleti needed to be playing Champions League football. But that also meant that we could actually had more time to train with the players that's Cholo, and then instill what we are now seeing today from Atleti. So Atleti has finished top of their group with 14 points, and they finished as the second highest goal scorers of the Champions League, only behind, I would say, Pep and Haaland. So that's actually kind of great from Atleti. It's actually true that it's a group that everyone kind of maybe expected of Atleti to kind of top, because you had Feyenoord, Lazio and Celtic. No disrespect to those teams, but those are teams from leagues which are maybe lower than the league Atleti play from, and also teams which are financially not as good as Atleti. It's not saying Atleti are the biggest financial club out there, but the Champions League campaign was actually very, very good from Atleti's perspective, because I think it kind of showed Atleti performing at, let's say, the European levels. The pace in which Atleti played kind of improved as compared to previous season. So, Kai, do you think Atleti kind of perform above your expectations in Europe this season so far?
I think, as you said, they were definitely expected to be first, as you mentioned, without disrespect, because, frankly, Feyenoord is really the only team that sort of have impressed me of that group, because Lazio was just not that impressive. They had this one moment where they scored with the goalkeeper, but I think that's about it. And I would say they just performed to expectations. Now, did I think they'll dominate that much? Probably not, but if in hindsight, if you look at the evolution of certain players, I'm mostly thinking about Lino, I'm thinking about Pablo Barrios, it's more or less according to expectations. They were expecting to do really well, and that's what they did. They performed according to the expected level.
Kai, about Atleti's performances, Atleti won all their three home games, and as compared to away, they won just a single game, but Atleti kind of finished the group undefeated, which was the team for three of the four Spanish teams that made it to the knockout stages. That's Atleti's rival, the other team for Madrid, then Real Sociedad. So, Kai, but if you watch the games, I think you watch Atleti's home games, actually, apart from the Feyenoord game in the first half, I think you kind of see a level of intensity, which is the norm in Europe, the aggressiveness, the high pace, kind of putting the opponent under pressure at home. But away from home, I think in Lazio, it was a more controlled performance, because away games in Europe are not that easy. Going to Rome and the atmosphere at the Stadio Olimpico was actually great, because the Lazio fans were actually behind that team, and then we actually did well, took a lead, but then we conceded. Then we had Celtic Park, which is actually has, we had a very, very good atmosphere, and I think they are a team which have underperformed this season in terms of the fact that they kind of did well, but actually could not even make it to the Europa League, because I think they are like a moment team, and then the moments they have in game are not much. It was actually a good performance from Atleti, but it was a very, very poor start. Atleti grew into the game, and then at Feyenoord, which Atleti won kind of, I can say, comfortably, even though Feyenoord had their chances where they were actually threatening and maybe on top, but Atleti kind of handled them well. So, Kai, you notice that there's a difference in performances, how you perform away from home and at home, which is maybe expected, but that of Aliti, I think the difference between how they perform at home and away from home is kind of much. Do you think that's an issue for Aliti going forward in the competition?
I think it's very natural, because if you look at a lot of teams, be it in domestic leagues or, as you mentioned, in European competitions, it doesn't matter if it's Europa League or Champions League, most teams just don't perform away, and that's perfectly normal. Because at the end of the day, it's a human sport, and the psychology that you have when you have a lot of fans compared to home shouting the opposition, whistling at you, especially I'm thinking of Lazio, with like a very hardcore fan base, it's not that really odd. It's, if anything, expected. But I definitely think that Atletico can improve on it, because in Atletico's case, it's very psychological. It's been years like that. If you look at Atletico's performance against Barca, it was like probably one of the worst since the beginning of the season. And it was psychological more than anything, because as you mentioned, Atletico afterwards do get in the rhythm, but these sort of first 20 minutes, which are essential to sort of set the mood for the game, Atletico often fails them away from home. And it's not a problem yet, but it can start being a problem depending on how they go on in the next round, because depending on who the opponent will be in the round of 16, the difference between their home level and their away level, if it's too big, can indeed be a problem, because in the Champions League, it's about details. These small moments will quite literally set the whole mood for the game, and for both games, because you're going to have an away and home game. So it's not yet a problem, and I won't say it's that worrying, but what's rather worrying is that sort of psychological block that Atletico tends to have against certain opponents, especially away from home, where essentially it sort of folds itself back when it shouldn't. There's no real reason to, you know, sort of suffer, which is typical of Atleti, in such occasions. It's sort of like shooting yourself in the foot at the end of the day.
Well, Kai, like you already said, it's kind of psychological. And on the previous podcast, where I did a review of the game against Barca with Neil, and we kind of talked about that, because, like you said, psychological blockage. And I think even in the home games, I think you kind of see that, because there are moments in the game where I think, especially after maybe a little I go, it's up, you kind of have like a psychological reset, and then maybe some of the players, because majority of the players, especially the core of the squad, have been at Aliti for more than 5 or 6 years now. And then you have the likes of Kuke, who have been with Cholo since the beginning. So you have maybe that psychological problems, which kind of is like a reset. And then they go back to, say, 2014 or 2016. And then you have the team being passive out of possession, which is actually very risky, like we saw against Amaria. And also when Aliti took the lead against Lazio, I think for 15 minutes after that, then Lazio were kind of on top. So it's something I think maybe the next step which Cholo has to kind of work on. So Kai, Aliti topped their group for the first time in a while. That's actually, I think, the third time that's happened. So it means Aliti can have a favorable draw against second-seeded teams. But then you have some second-seeded teams like Inter and Paris. So Cholo was asked yesterday who he thinks he wants to be his opponent in the round of 16, and he just replied, typical Cholo, I will want an opponent that will allow me to pass, which is kind of sarcastic. So, given how you have seen Aliti play, what are some of the teams do you think Aliti will struggle against, should they be drawn against in the round of 16?
It's sort of very hard to predict which team Atletico would typically suffer or not suffer against, because first of all, these games will happen only in a month, and a lot can change in a month. If you look at the Atleti before and post the World Cup of Qatar, you see a big difference. And historically, you see a lot of teams that massively improve or massively regress, depending on the exact momentum. Like right now, and overall throughout the year. And I think it's been fairly good, but a bunch of injuries. In fact, the injury of Pablo Barrios is really like quite a big problem for Atletico, though they're managing it fairly well. But genuinely, I think Atletico would struggle against Inter for me. Like, I genuinely think Inter genuinely are a tricky team because they're not the favorites, but they've shown it the past in the Champions League. They're able to go very far because they've got a lot of different tools at their disposition. PSG, I don't really think that would be a problem despite the individual quality, for the simple reason that Atletico has all the tools to overpower PSG in the middle, especially because they seem for some reason to always go with the double pivot of Vitinha and Zaïre Emery. And honestly, I don't see it as a problem for Atletico because they can exploit it very easily. Teams that might be difficult for me is definitely someone like, I'd say Dortmund, if they're qualified, because I think they are. And generally, I think that most team there's not really an easy team to meet this year in the Champions League. They've qualified, of course, because they've. I don't really see a perfect team besides Manchester City at most. All the other teams, I can perfectly pinpoint a specific weakness. So to me, it's not really about which opponent they get. It's more of whether the psychological drawback will reappear or not. That's because Atletico, realistically speaking, are one of the best teams in Spain. And therefore, they're also one of the best in the world. Like, besides Manchester City and maybe Munich, I don't really see a lot of teams that could genuinely be favorites against Atletico. If anything, which is odd for Atletico, they might be actually one of the favorites. So it's really hard to pinpoint a team. Like, to my sense, Atletico can easily win against 80% of the teams.
It's true, yes. Atleti has this mentality of our back against the wall, but as an Atleti fan, it's not something you are used to, where you are kind of like the favorites heading into game, every game, especially against some of the big guns in Europe. But like you have said, it's actually quite true because most of the teams have flaws, and from between now and February, a lot of things can change. You have the January transfer windows, and some teams will actually address their weaknesses. For example, that of Bayern Munich, they're actually in dire need of a defensive midfielder. And so does Aleti. So you have the opportunity of actually addressing that weakness. So between now and then, like you said, injuries or maybe teams re-strengthening their squads, and then you have maybe different teams, and also some teams may actually pick momentum, like in the case of Dortmund, where they're actually struggling domestically, and maybe in the turn of the year they can actually turn things around like they did last season, because they were actually one of the best teams after the turn of the year in the Bundesliga. So a lot of things can change. So that's actually kind of true. As for Inter, I think, like you've said, they actually have a lot of tools which can hurt a lot of teams, because I think they are the most chameleon-like team in the group, even though La Real kind of had a very good time against them home and away. So, if I may just trouble you a bit, what's your prediction? How far do you think Atleti can go into this competition? Or, like you said, if they can get rid of their mental blockage, they can actually go all the way?
To my sense, Atletico definitely go, well, depending on who they get, assuming it's not Manchester City, they definitely get to the quarterfinals, that's for sure. Then, depending on their own performances, injuries, etc., I definitely actually think they could make it to the final. But I think the goal for Atleti should be to get in the semifinals. I think that's not surrealistic. I think it's very achievable, especially because by then Pablo Barrios will be back, and for me that's one of the biggest factors. Now, what if it will happen? That's really hard because of the psychological drawback and all the other possible factors that might come in. But generally, I say quarterfinals minimum, and probably semifinals is it within the reach.
Oh, that's fantastic. One can actually dream. That's a trophy that has eluded them Aleti under Cholo. So winning the Champions League will actually maybe remove a lot of psychological blockage for not just the players, but also for us fans, at least some of us can start watching penalty shootouts if we do that. So, Kai, moving forward, we have to talk about this weekend clash, and it's against Athletic Club. Athletic Club are actually not just the parent club of Athletic, that's the club which Athletic used their stripe before. I think as Silo's best says it, they went to buy Athletic's kit, and then there were no Blackburn kit, so actually he had to maybe change Athletic's home colours, and now we have what we are wearing today. So, Kai, I think Athletic Club are one of the best teams in the league, not just because they are one of the best pressing teams in the league, but actually Valverde has kind of solved their issue, because I think it's an issue I think I and most of La Liga followers have been reiterating on Twitter, where we are talking about the fact that since the retirement of Aduriz, Athletic has lacked a 15-plus goal a season striker, or even a 20-goal a season striker. And that's actually been a hindrance for them, because we have seen them fighting relegation under Garitano to almost making it to Europe. And it's been a while since Athletic Club has made it to Europe. But this year, looks like they may actually do it. They have started in a similar way like they did last season, but they kind of fade away. But now the difference between this season and last season is actually the fact that at the same point this season and last season, Athletic Club has scored 22 goals and they had conceded 13, which is not actually bad considering 13 goals in 16 games. But this season, they have actually conceded more, but they are actually scoring more. And then this is thanks to Iñaki Williams, who have been improving his finishing over the years, and also Guruzeta, who was signed from the Segunda 2 years ago. So, Kai, these guys have actually improved. So, can you kind of give us like a rundown tactically of what Athletic Club do in possession and some of the things some of the players do, like for example the role of Sunset, the double pivot will be Luis de Galarreta or Andy Herrera, and the wingers will be Iñaki or will be Berenguer, and how they actually build up to arrive at the opponent's goal?
I would say, of course, the main thing with Athletic Club is that they tend to attract pressure, because what's typically Athletic Club, and it's a typical Valverde thing to do, is they're looking for to pass in the zone that's behind your back. So that's why they sort of are very patient in build up, because they just wait for you to jump on them, and then they sort of, not really like the ZB, but not as extreme, of course. But what they tend to do is they try to attract pressure to then, you know, exploit that space very quickly there. Of course, when you have someone like Sanchet, it's very easy, because Sanchet is quite literally a diamond when it comes to counterattacks. Coming from that like sort of advanced midfield zones, he's the type of guy that really sort of supplies chances. So when you have like defenders like Vivian, for example, that are very secure in possession, it's very easy with that. De La Galarreta, I've talked about him quite a lot. I don't think Vesga, for example, is really someone worth talking about. Like, he's decent without being extraordinary. It's really De La Galarreta that's been the highlight, because he's been behind many of the build-ups. He's the one starting them. With Sanchez, there's no question, of course. And then Guruzeta, he's really been the highlight. In fact, Guruzeta was actually scouted by Chelsea in 2017 back then. But most actually don't know. So Guruzeta has been really the sort of the nine that they've been missing, but it's definitely not enough, because both Iñaki and Nico, they lack the finishing. They generally just... What actually causes it is really hard to pinpoint, because they get in the shooting positions most of the time, but they just don't tend to be clinical enough. Like, they don't have this sort of shooting instinct that, for example, made Aduriz or Luis Suarez or whoever you're thinking about. And Sanchez himself, honestly, has to improve his shooting as well, because, yes, he's mostly a creator, but when you're playing this coach to go, you need to be more involved in goals. So I think the key is really to cut off access between Williams and Sanchez, because once you cut this down, it's very easy to sort of shut down Athletic, who really like, they lack the goals. the fact that they've been this high in the league is actually impressive and is probably not sustainable. I would say by latest by February, it's not going to keep up. And they already dropped points against Granada. Granada, who are not particularly impressive in any way. They're like really below in the table, if I'm not wrong. They've been in the relegations. I think they might even fire their coach already. So Athletic Club, the way it works is you always need to sort of make sure your rest defense works. Because the biggest assumption from Athletic Club's side is always that they want your centrals to jump on you so they can explore the space outside. But if your rest defense stays still, it's really hard for them to pinpoint. The maximum they really do is hoping that Nico Williams would actually do his 1v1, but that's a bad. But in the same fashion, Nico generally does not press a lot, which is a big problem when you play for Athletic Club. Same for El Sociedad, actually. So essentially, if Atletico really wants to win, they just need to do their mid block and then sometimes jump high, but you don't really need to, because if you don't give in Athletic's plan, they're not really that proactive. So they're essentially are very likely to hurt themselves. And Atletico with Lino, normally I would say Pablo Barrios, but if I'm not wrong, he's still injured. But with Koke, you can do the same thing. Riquelme, even at most, if Lino does not perform. These are of course, Griezmann. Like, to my sense, Sanchez is sort of like a bit weaker, of course, than Griezmann. And with Griezmann being on form, it's clear that it's very hard to contain him. So I think as long as Atletico build up on the wide thread thing with Lino and let Griezmann have the ball, and of course Morata, etc., like Atletico generally should just be themselves, but maybe not as high up as usual. Set your mid block, and essentially you've nullified 75% of Athletic's threats.
Kyle, you mentioned some important things. We talked about De Galarreta, who actually came back to Athletic Club this summer, and he was actually one of my favorite players to actually watch at Mallorca, because he's actually of that type of controller type, someone who kind of organizes Athletic Club's play, and he's also very key in position. And now for Athletic Club, with Yeray's injury, you have now Paredes, who was actually fantastic for Spain at the under 21 Euros, and he's actually very, very good with the ball. And a positive for Athletic Club is the fact that I think Vivian and Paredes are actually good in possession, and they actually take that initiative. You said Maletti should be like in the mid block, but I think there are games, I think like against Cadiz last season, where Paredes, I think Vivian actually has made that initiative to like force us to commit, and then force Cadiz to commit, and Cadiz committed, and then they scored. And those are things you have already warned us about, what Athletic Club actually do in possession. And I think you mentioned something very important in Sunset, because his evolution has actually been great, because under Garitano, he kind of was playing as a secondary striker, or you can say main striker next to Iñaki, where he was like the target man, and then his aim was to actually link up play and then or quick start count, or be the outlet for counter attacks and then play Iñaki in behind. But now he has evolved, and especially under Valverde, where he thrives more in operating in the pockets of spaces, especially on the right half space, where he actually thrives there. And in the game against Granada, Aleti kind of did well, and I think he, Sanchez, will actually be kicking himself, because he actually kind of missed a lot of chances which would have killed the game for Athletic Club. Kai, I think you have covered all that. Just to touch in on Galarreta, so you said if Athletic actually cannot nullify the access to Sanchez and the Williams, then I think Athletic has actually kind of made majority of shut down Athletic Club. Do you think Galarreta can kind of impact the game in a certain way?
I mean, Galarreta, by definition, always impacts the game. But I definitely think it's not that hard to cut him off, because Galarreta, as a controller, as you mentioned, always depends on his partner, which, of course, it has varied, but usually it's Vesga. And the thing is, with Vesga, we've seen this last year, Vesga is very easy to isolate, because when he's under pressure, he panics a lot, and it might, you know, impact him, of course, negatively. So I think if you can sort of isolate Visca, which is honestly not that hard with like a proper press, which Atletico, if anything, are really good at, you shouldn't have too many problems with Galarreta. Is he going to cause some troubles? Probably, but they're fairly negligible.
Okay. That's actually something Atletico can work on, kind of force passes into Visca, and then they can actually swarm him up and actually dispose, like, I'm sorry, win back the ball. Barca did to Koke in the 1-0 defeat at in Barcelona. So Kai, when you talk about Athletic Club, I think to any fan of La Liga, the first thing that comes to their brain is actually the fact that they kind of depend a lot on homegrown players play for the first team. But if you want to talk about tactics, the first thing that comes tactically to if any fan of La Liga or any person who follows La Liga closely is the fact that they are actually one of the teams which are actually tough to play against, in the fact that they are actually very aggressive, given how the kind of form of the players at Lezema, where you have a lot of aggressive pressing, players who run a lot. So Kai, we are going to talk about Athletic Club who out of possession phase. And my first question is going to be, under Garitano, I think they were a little bit more passive, even though there were times where they kind of pressed. And under Marcelino, we all know Marcelino, how his teams are very compact and, let's say, rigid in possession, if you may, because even though I know rigidity is not something which is very common in football, given the state of the game and everything, but I'm trying to talk about the fact that they are tough not to crack. So, Kai, how much do you think of the out-of-position stuff as Valverde, who actually succeeded Marcelino, has he kind of kept in place, or he brought in new OOP ideas that he's actually using at Athletic Club?
Funnily enough, I remember there was a tweet from La Liga Michael a few days ago, maybe a week ago, where he mentioned that you could actually compare the current Athletic Club of Valverde and his time at Barcelona, and you see very similar ideas. What Valverde did is essentially he improved a lot the role of Sanchez, because Marcelino tended to put him either too advanced or not enough, and Valverde sort of put him in the middle of every action, which is the right way to use him, if you ask me. Valverde, I definitely think he's had a lot of an impact on the press, because while Marcelino was pretty good at it, Valverde, if anyone knows about pressing, and you mentioned sort of this high press that they use, it's definitely them. And if you look even in the games, they're not that good. I'm thinking of Granada. They still are very hard to crack, as you said, because the thing is, like, Athletic, it's not that they're good, it's more of, it's easy to make mistakes against these guys. And once you make a mistake, you have to, like, do 3 times the work you would have normally done to get your points. That's how it works. Athletic are really like what I call a trap team. And even Girona had a problem. Girona, as far as I know, drew 1-1, I think, a month ago, or maybe even a few weeks ago. And
yeah, some weeks ago.
Yeah, and the reason is, like, because Girona relies on the mistakes, and Athletic Club are, like, they do very little mistakes, it became very hard for Girona to do anything, and it became more or less a standstill. So the thing is, like, if you're overcommitting, Athletic Club will directly punish you. And that's how the whole Valverde mentality in a way works. It's not the most, let's say, ambitious way, but the idea is that when you're attacking, there's, I don't know how much percentage chance that you will eventually make a mistake. And Athletic Club is sort of inciting you to do that one mistake, and then it's game over, essentially. So the way it works is you need to make sure to have space for interiors, because the whole idea of Athletic Club is to force you to be in the center and then cut your options off. Because when you cut off in the center and you lose the ball there, which is, for example, to Granada, you easily have zones where you lose the bow that are like very critical. So the way it works is you either play white, which is an option with Lino, for example, for Atletico, or you make sure that your interiors have space. Now, in the case of Atletico, I would rather go wide, but that depends, personal play style and how fit are the players, because I haven't checked who's fit and who's not fit. But altogether, you need to make sure that Athletic don't feel comfortable. And that means, first of all, denying them that possibility of that high press, making sure you can triangulate the whole time with your players, and the other is going wide, because this is generally what is Lecue or on the left wing. This is where Athletic Club is going to have problems to defend. They can attack very well, but they're also very vulnerable when they're attacking. And Atletico has definitely, on average, the higher quality players, which means that if they inside 1v1s wide, they're very likely to win.
Okay. Well, I think that's something I think we will actually maybe take advantage of, given that most of our chances generated are actually from wide areas. And I think Atleti Club has considered two similar goals. I think Kelvin Brown pointed out against Real Sociedad and Girona, where they actually faced a lot of difficulty defending the far post. And maybe that's something Atletico can actually take advantage of. Like you talked about the fact that they actually create traps centrally for you, and I'm thinking about the ball and just calculate the amount of ball losses you can give away in midfield. Well, we'll get to that. Kyle, there are some like the vulnerabilities you have talked about, which Atleti Club have, which is actually in wide areas and maybe trying to actually get you to commit errors. And I think which I'd be there basically going by the Mourinho's principle, which says that if you have the ball, there's a higher probability of you making a mistake and then also capitalizing on it and the rest. Kai, I think Valverde, as a top coach, someone who has coached Barca and won La Liga, he almost went invisible. And if not for the actual meltdown at Anfield, he would have won the Champions League, in my opinion. Actually knows this because he's actually a top coach in my books. So how do you think he has overcome some of the vulnerabilities that were on display versus Celta Vigo, that were on display versus Real Sociedad, and also versus Granada? Because those wingers I'm talking about is actually the weaknesses where they actually face difficulties in defending wide areas. And I'm sure every team in La Liga knows that a club like Atletico Madrid are actually very, very deadly in wide areas. On the right, you have that combination of Molina and Llorente, the runs in behind. Then you have the 1v1s on the left with Lino, Riquelme. So how do you think he can actually overcome some of these difficulties and actually to maybe keep short Atleti, or he sticks with his principles of setting those pressing traps or fake passing lanes and then they kind of force turnovers?
Essentially, in short, I think it's trying to take advantage of the first 15 minutes where Atletico sort of tried to settle in the game in a similar way to how Barcelona did. It's not that you're going to force, but Atletico, when they're to that psychological non-dominant state, when they do mistakes, they really do mistakes. That's what happened against Barcelona when you had that chance from Rafinha and Lewandowski. It's not that Barcelona was that good. It's just that because Atletico shot itself in the foot this deep, it was very easy to see simple mistakes be converted in huge mistakes. And so what Athletic Club always tries to do, and especially against Atletico, that makes even more sense, is to try to take advantage of this 15 minutes of momentum they can get against Atletico where they're not on the top and punish that and then sit back. That's the way, best way, because the whole point for Athletic will be to force the press to go from wide to the center. Because in the center, Athletic have the advantage, to my sense. That's where they're mostly excited, especially with Sanchez and De Galarreta. So to me, that's how I would do it. Now, the whole only problem with that is that while they tend to prefer centrally, one of their main magnets is wide, and that's Nico Williams. So playing the 1v1 for Nico Williams is important, but it's also important that Nico Williams never goes alone. So I think definitely, like if it's Sanchez, for example, which I expect him to be, to make these runs. This is what sort of distract the markers from Nico Williams. In possession is probably the most important thing they can do against Atleti.
Okay, fair enough. I think the first minutes of the game will be crucial, and I think Atleti will know that as well, given they have kind of started poorly. I think against Valencia it was something similar. And then you have the most recent game, Barca, and I think Morata himself said it. The numbers are there, they can't lie. We need to improve away from home. It's true. We don't have the same support we have away from home, at home, but we have to learn to play under such conditions if we actually want to achieve our goals. And I think this is something the players will actually have to be wary of, because if you watch the game against Lazio, I think I watched the game. It was actually a good result and good performance, but there were things there that actually, like you said, if it was against Athletic Club, then it would have been another story. So, Kai, we move on to Atletico to talk about their tactical setup since they lost against Barca. Like you said, a game where we shot ourselves in the foot so much so that it was actually difficult for us to recover. But against Almeria, we kind of showed gusto, showed that we can actually be a team on the front foot, and then we kind of covered some loopholes that were the case against Barca. But as the game progressed, those same mistakes crept in, but then we corrected it against Lazio. So, Kai, Atleti actually take a lot of risk in possession, and I think the reason why that risk has not been very visible is actually thanks to Atleti's rest defense. They are so that they are prepared. They know that the counter can occur anytime, so their shape is always to kind of minimize that. But Atleti has not faced a lot of counter-attacking teams like Atleti Club, who actually thrives a lot on the counter so far this season. Though they have faced the likes of Cadiz and Alaves, but that of Atleti Club, the quality is higher. So, Kai, in possession, most of the time, I think you have Ekoki and Depol pivot, and then which actually aids progression, and Atleti kind of tends to favor to build on the left. And then against Barca in the opening minutes, they actually started build up on the right, and it was successful. And I kind of got my hopes out, and then was shattered. But actually, Atleti kind of have a problem building on build up from the right side, which I think Chola has tried to solve by using Witzel there in a couple of games, and maybe Depor closer to that side. That is why maybe you have Griezmann playing as one of the eight, or you have maybe Saúl. So, Kyle, do you think Atleti has changed much from how they used to play before they defeated Barca, that's in the last two games against Lazio and Almeria, or Atleti have just maintained what they did and maybe work on the mistakes that were actually put on display in the game against Barca?
Honestly, it's hard to say, for the simple reason that the game against Barca was very recent. You've had two games, if I'm not wrong, against Almeria, and then against Lazio yesterday, and that's essentially about it. So you can't really talk about before and after. Like, generally, I think the game against Barca was more of a bad day thing. There's not really that much reading to do into it, because the mistakes are not to be explained. And in the second half, Atletico definitely came back, if anything. So to my sense, to say a before and after Barca does not really make a lot of sense. And I, as you said, they just should be themselves, because that's when they've been the best. The only defeat that I could see as half worrying in the last months might be the 2-1 against Las Palmas. That's the only game, to my sense, where I quite literally went, damn, that was indeed deserved. Because in most games, it's more than good. Against Almeria, first of all, Almeria is not really a reference, because they're just hilarious at this point. And the game against Lazio, they were pretty good from what I saw. So I don't think, I just, as mentioned, think they should just be themselves. Nothing more and nothing less.
Well, Kai, like you said, Atleti just need to be themselves and nothing more, nothing less. That is, keep building up from the back, which is something they have actually done a lot this season as compared to previous season. And despite the fact that you have a lot of turnovers, which may lead in chances for the opposition, Atleti keep on doing that, which kind of shows the levels Atleti have gone to actually be where they are at the moment. And Kyle, just about Atleti's in possession, we have Depol. personally, I've been a huge critic of De Paul in recent games. It's true he has good games like against Lazio, but I believe De Paul is capable of more. And I believe the role he has been given at Atleti should actually bring out the best in him. But I don't think we have actually seen the best of De Paul at Atleti at the moment. Because if you watch the game against Lazio, you have a lot of these traps Lazio set for us. And actually, where you is like our eight, our interiors there in space, and then you have to play two. You have the likes of Savic falling for that. I have no issue with that. Not saying that it's a good thing, but Savic is not a very, very good ball player like him also in terms of reading the game and execution of pass. But you have De Paul, he's a player who keeps falling for that. And given a player of his caliber on the ball, I don't expect that from him. Because to be honest, maybe it's either because I have a lot of expectations for De Paul, or it's actually the fact that he's not actually as good as I think, which is basically the same thing. So, Kai, what's your opinion on Rodrigo De Paul?
I mean, personally, De Paul is just performing to what I expect him to. Is he able to do better? Probably. But honestly, I don't think I expect really a lot more, at least in this setup with Atletico. Now, of course, it's hard to compare because if you look at his performances with Argentina, it's a different story. But altogether, I think he's doing just fine. But that, again, that might be my personal judgment because, I mean, I like him, but I would not call him, you know, a top player. So to my sense, he's just doing his job. Nothing more, nothing less.
Fair enough. It seems I have a lot of high expectations for the guy and kind of maybe actually blurs what I expect from performances from him in games, because I think Atleti's creativity in the final third has actually been put on him, and you have him kind of playing passes where even from your TV screen you can see that those passes are not open, and then those leads to counter attacks, and then like the case against Celtic in Celtic Park, and then he tries to win the ball back, and then you have a red card given that he's not one of the best players out of possession. So, talking of out of possession, we have to talk about Atleti's out of possession, because I think one of the issues Atleti has faced is that Cholo has actually achieved the balance he has been searching for. That's the balance between attacking and defending. Because Atleti's rest defense has actually improved a lot. Because one of the things I think I actually sensed this to use was the fact that Atleti actually, when they're attacking on a certain wing, you have that wing kind of, you have players in, you have a close combination where if, in shooting case, there's a turnover, Atleti has a higher chance of winning the ball. And then something which started with Renildo and has continued with Hermoso is actually Hermoso kind of drifting inside to make sure that things are more compact on that area. And then we have a player on the other side where if players switch on, should in case the opponent wants to attack down that side, then you have him kind of tracking back easily. Kai, what I want to actually ask is the fact that for Atleti's out of possession, I think Atleti has actually improved, but they are still, you see, have loopholes in it. Like, for example, when they want to press, you have that gap between the midfield and the defense, which is actually something that teams can take advantage of. Like, in the case of Atleti Club, you have Sunset receiving in that zone. It's very dangerous for Atleti. But Griezmann said that from visual analysis, they saw that Atleti is pressing had an issue. And now you have the centre-backs being more proactive, and you have the team defending as one, you have more coordinator than the rest. So, do you think the last two games, like you said, Almeria actually are not an opponent which you can actually like maybe base a lot on because of their form and how, like you said, hilarious they have been throughout the season? Do you think Atleti's OOP, actually, when it comes to pressing or sitting in a mid block, do you think pressing high is kind of favorable for Atleti, or maybe sitting deep in a mid-block is favorable for Atleti?
Honestly, I would not try to categorize, because the thing, I'm probably one of the believers that your game between in possession and out of possession, I don't really like to divide it because they're very linked. What I'll say is that normally, yes, Atletico has been more actually played higher and higher. As of this year, mostly. But against Athletic, as we mentioned before, they definitely should go for a mid block to me because it allows us flexibility, which is very needed against Athletic Club because they're a team that's very versatile. But usually, if you force them to go high, which is what you do with a mid block, because if you get a mid block against a mid block, it cancels out. And if anyone really wants to win, it's most definitely Athletic Club. So I think that if you force Athletic to go high, it's very easy to get them because, for example, as I mentioned, Vesca is very easy to isolate. And Nico Williams, when he attacks, he doesn't tend to press a lot when after losing the ball. And that's definitely a very starting point, especially in the Athletic. If anyone has the strength on the wings, it's Atletico. So I think these are the sort of the 2 points that out of possession that you really have to take in account to sort of win the tactical battle.
Hey, fair enough. Guy, something I want to mention because there's this issue that has come up a lot with the fact that Aleti lack duel winners or players that cover a lot of ground, which is actually something I think most elite teams have. I think Man City have with I think Rodri, Arsenal now with is it Rice, and then Bayern are actually looking for one. And then you have Aleti with Koke, but I think Chelo knows that when it comes to covering ground, that's not Koke's best suit. And I think it's something I think which we are coming to an issue. I think as a supporter of Barcelona, you are not strange with, or you are very familiar with when it comes to Busquets, because when it comes to actually covering a lot of space, he is not actually your guy. But when it comes to like the team actually makes the pitch smaller, and then he can actually use his game reading to make ball winning from anticipation, excuse me, he's your guy. And I think that's something from similar with Koke. I'm not saying Koke is Busquets or Busquets is Koke. Do you think it's actually a call for concern that Aleti needs actually to go into the market for a six that can actually dominate in duels and also cover ground? Because Chula has kind of how can I say, like, make up for this weakness with the fact that he knows Koke doesn't cover a lot of ground, so the play is actually very closer to him, so he does not have a lot of how can I say, like, these long transitions where when the ball is long lost, Aleti kind of maybe recover in their own half, or the game become up and down, and then you have maybe him doing those recoveries just maybe around him or after the ball is lost.
Honestly, I'd say that yes, they need to go to the market because they're in a stable phase as of now, but definitely it would help. And I'm not only thinking about the six, I'm thinking generally, if you look at the profiles of deal winners, there aren't that many I can think about. And if you take into account that Jimenez is injured like 75% of the season, you quickly have a big problem. But then it's also true that there are not that many. There's Manchester City, yes, but Manchester City is really maybe Arsenal at most. These are the only two teams I can really think of that have a lot of the winners. I mean, you think Gnabry, you think Akanji, you think Ake. Like, City are really an exception because they've really essentially got two teams, if you think about it, which is partially the financial success and the reason. The fact is that, like most of Spain, Atletico's financial state right now is not the most desirable. Which brings you to the fact that, first of all, I'm not sure who you would get because the six market is very tight. And honestly, it's very hard to actually find that proper profile. And a lot of teams don't. Of course, if Atletico can really find someone that can be this winner, perfect. But realistically speaking, it's a problem of 90% of the market as well.
Well, Kai, like you have said, the market is very thin, and if you can get someone in January, then that would be perfect. I think the aim was to get a short-term solution, and Guido Rodriguez was Aleti's pick, but he's now injured, which actually means Aleti maybe has to look for another player. And then I think the aim was to have a short-term solution, and then in the summer we actually go for someone young. And Aleti's scouting department is actually very good. even though I think the owners are kind of hesitant to sign some of the players in the past, like Guimaraes, Lautaro, and the rest. Well, we have gone from Partey and Rodri to where we are now. Hopefully, actually, we can actually get someone, because I think in the games, the Champions League, we will actually need those type of players. We brought in Kondogbia. Sadly, he didn't work out due to some of the many limitations he has as a single pivot. So, going to the key tactical battles in the game, what do you think the game will be lost or won? Or what are the things that fans or neutrals or even Atleti fans can actually keep an eye on when watching that game?
I mean, what exactly to keep an eye on individual things? I mean, of course, Nico Williams is 100% the biggest problem. But elsewhere, I don't really think there's that many worries, because if you were to check 1v1, you know, the paper squad, but on paper, there's not that many advantages that Atletico does, because generally Atletico takes it over because of Griezmann, speaks for itself. Morata is getting in form as well. Lino speaks for itself as well. At most, maybe if there's a 2v1 against Savic, at most, or Edmozo, like one of the wide center backs. But that's the only thing I think they should worry about. The main thing is more of a collective thing. Just make sure that you don't get caught in Athletic's idea of getting a ball. That's the only really thing I can.
Well, Kai, hopefully we can actually not get caught in that, because if we get caught in that, then we are playing to their hands. And if we play to their hands, then it might actually get dirty for us. When I mean dirty, that is actually the fact that the results might actually not be very good, and losing against Athletic Club will actually mean the game in hand we have will actually not be so useful, because you actually imply that even if we lost the game and then we kind of win our next two games, we are 7 points behind, which it's a gap which we can cover, but it kind of leaves you handicapped getting to the second round of games where you have a chance to maybe cut it short to 4 points. So, Kai, I think there are some questions that some fans ask, and the first is coming from Family History. I think we have already answered this question. Is considering Atletico's progress in the high pressing phase in the previous games after the Barca defeat, on the one hand, and Bilbao's advantages in their fast wingers and Sunset acting as an aid or the link between the midfield and the attack, how to and to what extent should Atletico play this match? Should they play in a low, medium block, or how often should they press, or the centre back should be reactive to jump?
I think I've answered a few times already, actually, by accident, but I don't think that Sunset is such a worry, because it's pretty easy to cut access, given that Atleti have the majority in the wide spaces. And once you do that, it's not that worrying, because Guduzeta is not that impressive just yet to become a major threat. So once you cut access to Sunset, it's not that hard. And also, like as I mentioned, if you pinpoint Vesga, you solve 99% of your problems. And as for the block, as I said, mid-block, because you want that flexibility. Because the thing is, like, Atleti is able to, like, defend in any setup. The question is just to make sure you don't fall in the traps of getting attracted, as I mentioned just now. So, to my sense, mid-block.
Okay. I kind of agree with that. And on to the next question, which is actually from my kid sister. She's asking, to what extent has Koke limited Cholo tactically in terms of how he can approach games in and out of possession?
I mean, I wouldn't say any player limits anything. It's more of the approach that most coaches tend to have nowadays, and the one I prefer myself, is you always look at your player. Yes, they can't do everything, but they can do a lot of things. And the idea is always to maximize their strengths and to or sort of try to hide the qualities. And historically, Koke has been a net positive. I mean, the value he gives you in possession is incredible. Now, out of possession, is he the best presser? Probably not. But has he really been a hindrance? In comparison, you know, to the average Atletico player, I don't think so.
Okay.
That's nice. That's all. Well, for me, every day, any time of the week, Cookie starts in my team, and then maybe the other pieces can fit into it. But well, that's from a fan's perspective and not from a coach perspective, because they have a lot of things to worry about. Luckily for me, I'm not in Diego Simeone's shoes, so things are kind of different for me. So, Kyle, we are almost at the end of the podcast, and actually, this is actually one of my best parts of the podcast, where we ask random questions to the guests. And in your case, I think the first question, which should be fairly easy, given how maybe knowledgeable you are of La Liga. Can you name two players, okay, who have played for both Athletic Club and Atletico Madrid?
That's not that easy, because honestly, like, I know there are, but if I'm honest, this is like the type of knowledge I do not possess, because unfortunately, I'm not a Wikipedia page. Who played for both? Because I don't think Valverde played for both. I mean, the players that probably played for both come out from like the 70s or something. So, obviously, no clue.
Okay. Atleti's top goal scorers, I think, two seasons in the last five seasons.
Really?
He played for Atleti. He was actually a kind of attacking midfielder and attacking midfielder and a nine shed, very good in the air. Very borderless like.
Borderless like. Just this jacket is amazing. No idea, honestly.
Oh, Raul Garcia. Raul Garcia.
Oh, Garcia, yeah. True. I guess it's because there are certain players we tend to land with one team, so it's easy to forget they played for both, but true, that will get here.
Okay. And then next, I think, the head coach of Super Depot.
Of who?
Of Super Depot. That's Deportivo La Corona, when they were their best, won La Liga.
Of Deportivo, I have no idea who the coach is, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Sorry to be pointed here, but like,
guy, you're really,
you're
the worst person to ask for this. So basically, you are like, I can say you are the inverse of Graham Hunter, I think.
Graham is like one of the most knowledgeable people out there, so he's way more of an encyclopedia than I am.
We actually suck at this guy. Okay, and quite on to the next question. The next question is, apart from Barca, obviously, and a team in Bulgaria, what other team actually do you like their culture, the fan culture, the club, and the rest? Not just in terms of tactics, but in terms of how the club is.
Are we talking historically or currently?
Go for whatever suits you, Kai.
I mean, last months and the last years, I really loved Villarreal to the point where they sacked Setien. It was less fun. Currently, of course, Arsenal are definitely up there. Generally on team culture and just generally atmosphere, I would say Brighton are somewhere up there. I'm thinking Dortmund, Leverkusen definitely, especially since Xabi Alonso is doing wonders there. Teams that are always fun, but of course right now Girona is like the highlight, with Las Palmas since García Pimienta is there, essentially, when I started watching them. Valencia has always some kind of youth project going on, even though they sell like 99% of them. this season with Farioli, there's Nice who have been really incredible. And from time to time, there's other clubs I like to watch. Usually, there's Hamburg who and Heidenheim this season who are like very fun. And of course, Real Sociedad is definitely like my favorite club outside of Barcelona all time, I would say.
I would not ask you to actually name all the clubs in Europe, you know. Okay. We do not ask you to name all the clubs in Europe. Yaks for. You know you're Mr. Europe.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so Kai, the next question is concerning Aleti. Well, you suck at this, so my hopes are not up. If you actually answer this, then oof, hats off to you. Can you name the manager before Cholo took over? The manager who was manager Aleti before Cholo was actually hired?
The coach before Atletic, before Simeone, right?
Yeah.
Before him, wait. If I'm not wrong, he was Spanish. Was it not Manzano?
Yup. Gregorio Manzano. Wow.
Yeah, Gregorio, yeah.
Okay, you just shocked me. And Kai, the last, English. Oh, Seigneur Jésus, de moi. Anglais, Belgique. The last, but not the least. Well, I think that's better, right? Kai, your predictions for Aleti this season in terms of winning trophy. I think I've already given us that of in the Champions League, what in terms of La Liga, the Copa del Rey, and the Super Cup. Sorry, they call it the Super Cup or a friendly match? Is it now a friendly match or is it just a Super Cup?
Well, it depends on that. Like, it really depends what you call a trophy, but my expectations, as I said, for Champions League, between quarters and semis, depending on who they get. In La Liga, second, I'm pretty sure. Third in the worst of cases, but I'm pretty sure they can make second. And honestly, depending on how they go, they could actually do first, but I think second would be my choice. Copa del Rey, I think they make it to the final and lose. Probably, I'm not sure, they also say that Athletic Club, I would say. Super Copa, definitely possible. But I honestly see Real winning a lot this season. So I think I would say, yeah, second in most competitions, honestly, sadly enough.
Okay, well, in the Super Copa, I think the ref are still going for their hunt of an El Clasico final. So hopefully, Atletico and Osasuna can actually deprive them of that. I would actually love for Osasuna to actually win the Super Copa. It's true, you'll be far away from home, but I think they and maybe Atletico are actually the ones who actually, or their fans will cherish it more than Barca or Real Madrid. No offense to them. And like you said, I think you are the first guest to actually say that Aleti will make it to the Copa del Rey final and lost.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Fair enough. And I think you and Neil, I think Neil predicted we finish in top four. He did not specify. And as for you, he said we finish second, which is not bad. And I hope we actually win the league this year. So just the final nail on the coffin, Kai, who wins La Liga this season?
I think Real will win because the reason being is that Barca is completely out, to my sense, unless some magical miracle happens. Girona, I just don't see them winning. And I wrote a whole article that I'm probably soon going to publish. Surely the reason for this is that we're already seeing a Girona drop down. And it's mostly Girona is starting to have the hard time. Like, they're generally, they don't have enough substitutes to be able to, you know, to justify their current intensity approach. To my sense, at some point, they will have injuries. They're going to have players with low confidence, I'm thinking, especially the forwards. So to my sense, like, they've been very fun, and I do think they will end up further fifth in the worst of cases. But I just don't see them keeping up. And then it's between Atletico and Real. And usually in this type of cases, it's always Real who's going to win. So, and with Jude Bellingham, who's just not stopping. I don't know how you actually stop the guy. So that's why for me, Real
like this analytic podcast. This analytic podcast. this analytic podcast, you know. Well, I think like you said, Real with Bellingham, as you were saying before, I cut you short, they actually there, and like you said, you see them winning a lot. Hopefully for me, they don't. And 2020-21, actually, we were there with them and we won it. So we can do it again, then that would be nice. I know some Real Madrid fans will now listen to this and say, but in 2014, they can get out. So, Kyle, like you've said, Girona don't actually have enough in the tank to actually see through. But Michel is actually very, very tactically flexible. Like, without Yangel, he kind of came up with a solution to play Barcelona, which is actually playing like a situational back five, with David Lopez dropping deep and maybe at times getting to midfield. So they don't have enough in the tank, and hopefully Barcelona don't do what they always do, which is strengthen a rival, and then they can actually have a player in the position which they actually lack, and then who knows. So Kai, it's been fun talking to you.
Thank you for the invite.
And it's also been great giving your tactical insights on how the game of Athletic Club versus Athletic is going to go through, and some of the things we can actually keep an eye on. And it's also nice having someone with an unbiased opinion towards Athletic on the podcast, because if it's left to me, we all know Athletic are the best and the best and the best. And it's also surprising seeing how you are downplaying Barca, which is actually great, because it's actually not easy for a fan to actually not be biased towards their team.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we all have their bias, but I guess I'm able to take perspectives that most fans would not consider.
Yeah, that's actually nice. Think level-headed and the rest. So hopefully Kai's predictions don't come past. That's Real winning La Liga ahead of Atleti and the rest. And the reverse is true, and Atleti are the ones on top. So if you have listened up to this point, just want to thank you. And guys, remember, nunca deja de creer. Never stop believing. See you next time.